Local Talk is the signature local interview program on KHOI that explores people, stories, and events of Central Iowa. It celebrates the creativity, diversity, and civic spirit of our community. This interview aired on Local Talk.
Back in July on Local Talk, Mary Rankin, Ames and ISU's Sustainability Director, introduced AOID Oluluwana, the ISU new recycling coordinator. We were pleased to meet this influential new member of our community, partly because he's bringing a new environmental effort to ISU that will change life on campus, partly because he brings news from the other side of the planet as a Nigerian immigrant, and partly because a number of people at KHOI have begun to tune into the issue of plastic and the worldwide crisis that it is causing, and AO knows a lot about plastic.
And also because he is an interesting voice for a new global generation that's sharing a sense of urgency and enterprise about how to protect the environment in new ways. So to follow up on all this, you and Mary sat down with AO for a follow-up conversation, and you asked him about where his passion for environmentalism started. He started that by talking about experiencing a flooding disaster in Nigeria and how this led him to see trash and plastics as a global issue. Later in the interview, he explained the concept of upcycling as opposed to recycling and how treasures can be seen in waste.
In 2012, back in Nigeria, there was this huge flood disaster that was very, very devastating for the entire country. You know, you can imagine having constant rainfall for 2 weeks nonstop. You know, it's quite unfortunate that because of people's mindset about waste back in Nigeria, people just drop things wherever they like. So, you know, all of those things accumulated, blocked the drainages. And when we had that rain for 2 weeks, the water had nowhere to go. And, you know, there was this huge flood. And basically, it was very devastating. And the incident was very emotional for me, was the fact that we lost properties as a family. And we even lost some family friends as a result of that incident. So that got me thinking. I had a bachelor's in environmental management and toxicology. And that got me thinking, like, you know, we can't continue like this as a country and even as humanity, you know, because nature will always fight back. We are just very reckless to nature, and in nature, whenever it wants to fight back, it does. And that was exactly what happened. So that got me thinking, I was like, we need to start thinking for the future generation, you know, what we need to start doing right now, because we can't continue this way. So that actually was one of the reasons that brought me into the States, to be a good way to, you know, learn what's been done in some of these developed countries and what are the best practices, you know, to actually have an effective waste management system. And that has been my passion all this while. And, you know, moving to the States, I discovered that the university that I graduated from, I discovered that there's a lot and a lot of food waste. And that broke my heart. Like, we're just moving from fry pan to fire, you know. So it was very, very devastating. I said, okay, no, this is not a Nigerian problem. This is not an African problem. This is a global problem. And we have to attack this problem. We have to start talking about it. We have to start putting our words to action. And that's how I got my passion around waste management, recycling, and all of that. So based on my background, what I've experienced personally, when it comes to waste management, recycling, it's not about the job. It's just about, you know, the passion. It had an impact on me. Right now, I have two little boys. One is four, one is two. They know what is recycling and they know what is trash. Because, you know, I think this, we are talking about their future. You know, we've messed up our own future. What impact can we put on them? Do we want to put that same mindset that we had growing up into them by being wasteful, not care about, you know, nature? Or do we want to start telling them as young as they are what they can do to protect their environment? So that's basically what I'm doing right now with me, with my own kids. And I'm so glad that, you know, as young as they are, they know what is trash, they know what is recycling. And I think that's a good way to start. We have to start from individuals before we start talking about outside entities. Based on my passion, based on what I've experienced in the past, as part of my master's thesis, I lived in a mountainous community in Colorado. And one of the greatest challenges of that place is that we have limited recycling infrastructure. Gunnison happens to be one of the coldest town in the U.S., so we have as much as 100 inches of snow every winter. That actually has limited how much local farmers can grow food. So I thought about putting up my content for the environment. How can I address the short growing season in Gunnison? So I came up with the concept of using plastic bottles, clear plastic bottles, to build a greenhouse for local farmers. And I built a 10x12 plastic bottle greenhouse, which was the first of its kind in the state of Colorado, to tell people that, you know, we can address those plastics going to the landfill and also solve the shorter growing season. So I'm glad I was able to put all of those things into perspective. And now, you know, I'm not only building that structure, I also develop a manual for any community globally to be able to use such manual. The processes I went through in, you know, in terms of engaging the community, elementary school, high school kids, university, local farmers, people below the poverty level. So people can see that there's treasure in waste that we throw away. How best we can use the waste we throw away to actually advance a problem we are facing as a community. And that was what I was able to achieve that.
What's holding the bottles together?
So there's a twine in between those bottles.
Twine?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like a wire twine that you just put in between those bottles, on top and downwards. And what I used was clear bottles.
Are the bottles flattened or are they still?
No, they still retain their structure.
So but they're not a square shape.
No, they are like...
They're round, right?
They're round.
Are the bottles like bricks?
Yeah,
are they still in one piece?
Exactly. It's basically an eco brick. So we're just putting them on top of each other. But what we now did in Colorado was the fact that we used a plastic sheet to wrap it up.
Okay. Oh, okay. So that filled in any of the holes.
Exactly.
So the bottles made the basically
structure. The wall.
The structure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the thing we did was that because of some of the plastics might start degrading and all of those things, we did it in such a way that it's easy, it's fixable. You know, you can actually go into the wall and just replace that bottle, that line, and just replace it and, you know, have a brand new structure.
So you're able to retain heat with these?
Absolutely. One thing I also did earlier this year was to track the temperature variation in that greenhouse during the winter months to see how effective it is, you know. So I discovered that we have about 15 to 20 degrees variation between the external temperature and the temperature inside the greenhouse, which is something good. You know, it's something that I was even thinking probably 5 to 10, but I was amazed, you know, studying that from late December and early March. And I discovered that there was, on the average, 15 to 20 degrees variation, which is good for local farmers in Gunnison. But because Iowa is a little bit different from the climate we have in Colorado in terms of humidity and dryness, you know, one might be able to tweak things around to see, okay, what can we do? The bottom might not be as tight as, you know, the way it was compacted in the one I built in Colorado.
What was the most challenging problem you had to address when doing this?
One thing I actually underestimated was bottle collection.
The collection of the bottles?
Yeah. When I ran out of the clear bottles, I had to be creative and I ended up augmenting that with 1 liter clear bottles.
So how many bottles?
So altogether, all the bottles I used was, you know, about 1,500. So I called them, just called them basically plastic bottle greenhouses.
Bottle greenhouses.
Yes. And I try to move away from the word recycling because I believe it's more than recycling, that project that I built.
What do you call that?
I call it upcycling.
Upcycling.
Yeah, so which is the process of, you know, reusing a product to produce another product of higher value than the original product that you're trying to use. So basically, you know, I call it plastic bottle upcycling, you know, with a case study of the greenhouse.
So we can look forward to upcycling at Iowa State as
absolutely,
well.
Absolutely, yeah. Mm-hmm. One thing I spoken with Mary and Bob, which is my boss at Iowa State University, is trying to work with the design department. They have more expertise than I do in terms of, you know, what works best, you know, for this kind of structure, even still using the same materials. That's something I've kept in mind and something I want to explore here in Iowa State.
You have instructions on how to build a greenhouse
Absolutely.
Out of plastic bottles.
Absolutely. I'm putting up a website for that as well. Apart from the manual, any community can access that resource, you know, and tweak, you know, whatever I had in that manual, you know, to suit their current condition and current problems. And that's my goal. And that's, you know, that speaks back to what we were talking earlier as to, you know, how as individuals, as nonprofits, can begin to develop solutions, not just talk, develop solutions to address some of these problems that I went through, my family went through, to secure the future generation from having, you know, such a global disaster.
Are there similar projects going on in Nigeria?
Absolutely, yeah, because, you know, I think that incident has actually made people to think out of the box and begin to think, how best can we do things? How best can people see trash or waste in a different manner? Mm-hmm. How can people begin to think of, okay, this waste I'm generating, I think it has other values than just throwing it in the ditch.
Are you aware of any specific projects back home in Nigeria?
I know of a couple of organizations that are actually poor communities to start building eco-friendly homes out of waste.
Eco-friendly?
Homes.
Homes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Out of waste, you know, just also speaking to using plastic to build a house this time around, not even a greenhouse. And so basically what that means is that they stock plastic bottles of any type, trash, and with sand, so that it gives enough compatibility for that bottle to be able to withstand whatever stress that house is going to go through. So that's a new trend right now back home in Nigeria, and it's been said that it's going to solve the housing problem in Nigeria. Right now, we have about 17 million housing deficit in Nigeria, and I think going that route helps to eliminate waste as much as possible and also educate citizens that there's more to waste than the way you see it. There's more value that you can actually get from your waste. Once people begin to see that, people see value for the waste they generate, it will be very hard for people to generate those waste even in the first place.
This is really a new generation of creativity, mm-hmm. and a vision that's global.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So are we going to see a bottle greenhouse here at Iowa State?
Yeah, fully. I mean, yeah, absolutely. Because
perhaps
I think,
in my backyard.
Yeah. I mean, I've done the most tedious. I've never constructed anything in my life. I spoke to expat that I've done this in Latin America, in Germany, before I started that project, to consult, like, is it really visible here based on our current condition? And I mean, they provided useful advice and, you know, technical experts, which was very phenomenal. So doing it in Iowa shouldn't be a problem. Basically, I consider weather condition more friendly than, you know,
in Colorado.
Colorado, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You mentioned that the problem of waste and environmental degradation you've discovered is global, mm-hmm. not Nigerian, mm-hmm. or African. Mm-hmm. I'm just curious whether this consciousness is a global process as well. Do you see this happening in Nigeria? Are you from a generation thinking environmentally?
Yeah, it is a global process. And as a matter of fact, I think that the flood brought up a lot of conversation. Young Nigerians, young Africans right now taking their future into their own hands. There's a lot of nonprofit organizations springing up, charting the course of engaging citizens about the best way to live their life environmentally conscious. By year 2050, we're going to have more plastic than fish. And I can see that here in the United States too, you know, there's a lot of nonprofit organizations talking about how citizens should be responsible with the way they buy things, with the way they consume things. I always have this slogan at the footnote of my emails, like, don't buy what you don't need. So these are some of the bits and pieces that we can begin to do, you know, as individuals, as corporations, as institutions.
Well, as you can tell, we've got an exciting future ahead of us at Iowa State. It's an exciting generation that's ahead of us.
You can hear more interviews like this on Local Talk Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 7 a.m., noon, and 7 p.m. on 89.1 KHOI Community Radio. You can support Community Radio through the donate button at khoifm.org.